morning. I'm here today to share with you the results of an evaluation of a two-year study of an initiative funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan to organize and energize elementary schools, teachers, children, parents, and communities to promote healthy eating and physical activity at the school, at home, and in the community. Here are disclosures. The study was funded by a Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation, which itself was a partnership of the University of Michigan Health Center and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. The data were provided, the analysis of the multi-year study was funded also by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and Huda Fidel, one of our presenters, is employed by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Well, I'm going to show you this chart. I know it's a very familiar chart of the NHANES data over the years. The rates of childhood obesity appear to have stabilized in the last decade, but they remain very high, certainly much higher than what we saw in the early 70s. The NHANES data are not available for individual states, but other studies that we know of suggest that Michigan childhood obesity rates are very similar to the national rates. So the Blue Cross Blue Shield initiative, funded initiative, was called Building Healthy Communities. And each year, Blue Cross Blue Shield awarded grants to elementary schools and their community partners to build capacity and to implement a multi-component obesity prevention program. The grant amounts typically ranged from $20,000 to $35,000, and it depended on the number of program components that the grantee proposed. Blue Cross Blue Shield provided a toolbox of program choices, which included some required program components and some optional program components. Every school was required to have a classroom curriculum. One of the choices was a program called PE Nut and EPIC. PE Nut was a coordinated school health program that included standards-based physical education incorporating nutrition messages. The nutrition messages were incorporated into the core curriculum of the classroom. There were also classroom activity breaks that were called Fitbits. These were highly structured that teachers could easily use. The principal made daily announcements about fitness and healthy eating and school ride activities. Excuse me. And there were take-home newsletters to connect with parents. Another classroom curriculum choice was the combination of two programs, one called OrganWise Guys, which actually is starting to develop a strong evidence base. It is a regular classroom curriculum that teaches healthy eating and physical activity through a lovable cast of organ characters called Hearty Heart, Peter Pancreas, Madam Muscle, and Cerebrum. There are books, videos, audio recordings, posters, fun activities. These characters deliver a message of hope, knowledge, and self-empowerment to help children make healthy choices. Hop Sports is an all-in-one multimedia center and sports equipment system to promote physical activity for PE classes and after-school programs for both students and for adults. There are digital video productions that guide participants in high-energy movement activities, often featuring professional athletes. Here you see somebody from the Harlem Globetrotters. All schools were also required to start mileage clubs and to hold a 5K walk or run event sometime during the school year. Some of the optional programs were special events that the school could be sponsored with the help of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Here you see the Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford visiting in a school in Detroit, but there were other similar special events to promote this and to get some community publicity. There were also optional parent engagement programs, one called Body Works, which was 10 90-minute weekly sessions for parents and caregivers to improve family eating and activity habits. This is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. There was also another program that was a companion to the OrganWise Guys program, which was a speaker kit that just included presentations on healthy living in family environments. There was also optional community engagement programs, Safe Routes to School, which was a program that was funded by the Federal Highway Administration Transportation Authority, and also was run by the Michigan Department of Transportation with the Michigan Fitness Foundation. Here, schools form a program team with administrators, teachers, parents, student leaders, law enforcement, to collect data from parents and students, conduct environmental assessments about walking and biking, and to develop a plan to improve current walking and biking routes to school. Another option was a program called Promoting Active Communities, which was a Michigan product developed by the Michigan Fitness Foundation, which also included engaging community partners in assessment, planning, and then mobilizing resources to promote activities in communities and neighborhoods. Well, here's where the program was funded. Over 2 years, 39 schools were funded, and 15 of the schools agreed to participate in a second year evaluation. And for the two-year study, over 260 students participated in pre-test and post-test assessments. So you can see from this map that the programs are funded all over Michigan in both rural and urban settings. Our demographic data for the children who were involved we collected data starting in the fourth grade through the end of fifth grade. We're roughly half boys, of course, and about half of the participants were white, about a quarter were African American, another quarter identified other races, including American Indian and Mexican American, Latino, or Hispanic. Our outcome measures, which we measured at the beginning of fourth grade, at the end of fourth grade, also the beginning of fifth grade, and the end of fifth grade, included physical activity measures such as children's knowledge about physical activity, their beliefs about the effectiveness of physical activity for their health. We also asked about physical activity days, intense and moderate and vigorous activity days in the past week, and the number of screen time hours that self-reported for yesterday. The nutrition measures were parallel. We had a nutrition knowledge measure, a belief in the efficacy of healthy nutrition, and then they self-reported on yesterday's food, a variety of different food groups that they just reported how many servings they had the previous day. Our outcomes were strong for the physical activity knowledge and beliefs improvements in both year one and in year two. We did see a increase in vigorous physical activity in the last week at the end of year two. And initially we saw an increase in computer screen time and then a decrease in year two. For nutrition outcomes, we saw a bump in the nutrition knowledge scores, which was essentially a quiz of what they knew about nutrition. And for self-reported food the previous day, in both year one and year two, we see increases in self-reported consumption of high-fiber grain foods. At the end of year two, there was a decrease in diet soft drinks. We're seeing an increase in high-fat meats in year two, and for some reason, frozen desserts were popular at the end of the year. We think that might be a seasonal effect, that when we ask about it in the spring, kids are reporting more frozen desserts. There were no changes in nutrition beliefs, however. Just want to share with you some of the limitations of this study. There was no comparison group, so we could not know if the effects we see are due to the intervention in the study or to other causes. This was a convenient sample, those who applied for grants and those who agreed to participate in a second year, so these were likely to be schools where programs were going pretty well. We relied on self-reported data of the fourth and fifth graders, which is especially important for interpreting the reported improvements in behaviors and beliefs. We know that when students report a higher rate of eating whole bread foods, vegetables, fruits in the previous 24 hours, it's possible that this improvement primarily reflected an increased understanding that these foods were good to eat. So we know we're seeing increases in knowledge and beliefs, so that might be influencing their self-reports. Also, the schools were funded to implement the program during the first year. They did not receive funding during the second year. So, and we were not able to track the amount of programming during the second year. We know that in the first year we tracked program implementation, but we are not sure how much program was completed in the second year. So now I'll share with you some of the things that we've been learning and thinking about since doing this study. You know, we see that there are increased more outcomes in the physical activity realm, the physical activity knowledge, physical activity beliefs, and some behaviors. We're acknowledging that students have more control over their own physical activities than they do over the food that they consume, which may be one of the reasons why we're not seeing as many changes in food consumption behaviors. This suggests a need for wider ecological approaches that include parent education, and I should say our parent engagement components were not as successful as our engagement of the teachers. That a few of the schools that tried them had a really tough time getting parents to come and listen to the presentations. So that was one part of the program that certainly needs to be bolstered. And of course, with a lot of the food that the children eat coming from what parents purchase and bring into the home, it's a very important part of this problem. The continued exposure to programming in the second year, it appears to be generally beneficial, and we should encourage all the stakeholders who want to engage in this kind of intervention to design and invest in long-term intervention strategies. We're also acknowledging that we had a very non-traditional partnership with a health insurance company. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan is the largest provider of health insurance plans in Michigan. They have a social mission they are a nonprofit in Michigan. Not all Blue Cross Blue Shields are nonprofit, but in Michigan it is. And they had a group dedicated to what they call social mission. And it was interesting to work with them. Their commitment was certainly related to their commercial goals, to be a good citizen in these communities where they're selling their products. But we think this is a good way to sustain programs like this, to work with nonprofit and for-profit health partners, health providers, and health insurers to help address this problem. And I'll just leave this with you if you want to be in touch with us in the future. So do you want to do questions now or later?
Yes, we've got a few minutes for questions. Any questions for Dr. Eichel, please?
That's a question. I might have missed this, but did you measure the self-reported intake of regular soda in addition to diet soda?
No change. The only thing I showed you were things that changed.
Okay.
Yeah, we asked about pretty much every kind of food that a kid might eat.
Did you think that's how long the intervention was implemented? It seems like there was a lot of programming for schools.
Yeah.
You often get very overwhelmed with that many at a time.
Yeah, we had a very intensive implementation study during the first year. I think I've reported on that at another conference. The classroom programs, the teachers liked them. They typically liked reading the books that came in both programs. They also liked the activity, the structured activity cards that they got with each program. So some of the teachers told us that when the kids started feeling a little squirrely and needed to move, they just pulled out a card and said, okay, 10-minute activity break. And this would happen typically once, twice a day, where they'd use the activity. But the teachers liked the programs, and we had them do monthly logs on when they did things and so forth, so we got some sense of what they liked and what they didn't like. One program, the one program did have food tasting, not cooking, but the teachers prepared foods that they wanted kids to try. There was food tasting, but yeah, not cooking, because in elementary schools they didn't have kitchens to work with, so. I do think that's a really valuable thing, though, that I was talking to somebody recently about my experience growing up in junior high school in the early 1970s, and this was a little sexist, but all the boys went off to industrial arts and all the girls went off to home economics. But everybody, all the girls at least, took cooking. It was mandatory for 3 years that they learned how to cook. And of course, all the boys learned how to wire things and build things with wood and so forth. But we've really gone away from that about teaching kids how to cook.
There's a lot of good things being done around cooking.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. Yeah. Yep. Yes. This was a what I reported on here was 2 years of data. I should say that Blue Cross Blue Shield has continued to fund this program. They've changed it somewhat, but they are continuing to give grants about the same number each year.
And my other question is, what did you? I heard you say that you didn't have very much parental involvement. What did you do to try to get them involved, try to get the parents involved? Because I think the numbers probably have been higher.
Well, it was the schools that did this. And I don't have a lot of information about the amount of effort they put into it. I suspect, you know, that was minimized, that it wasn't a full-blown, let's get the parents in here. They probably sent a letter home and, you know, it wasn't much more than that.
Is there a way we can get a PowerPoint?
Well, I think it is available for downloading, but if you want to make sure, you can leave me your business card and I'd be happy to send it to you.
Okay.
Yes, Blue Cross Blue Shield is continuing to fund this program. They are now partnering with Wayne State University on their evaluation work, so I don't know how that's going, but they are continuing to do it. Yeah? Be nice. We need to get a big grant to do that. But yeah, I would love to do it. Yeah. No, not yet, but we've looked at some, and I don't know if we've looked at it carefully enough, but we've done one swipe of that, and we're not seeing much difference there. No. I think what really counts is having some school champions to really promote it. I mean, it's easy for teachers to get a packet of stuff and then maybe try it a few months, and if it doesn't go well, they move on. If they have continued support and there's a lot of energy and celebration, I think it's more likely to succeed.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.